Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good day, everybody. We want to welcome you to this week's edition of Here's to Your Health. I'm your co-host, Dr. Ron Epley, and with me as usual is...
your other co-host, Dr. Shane Goforth. Remember, this is a call-in show, so we'll encourage everybody to give us a call. And that number is 347-989-8722. So give us a call, and we'll try to get you on the air with us.
Yeah, so here we go. I'm going to start off with vitamin D.
Good. I could use some today.
My favorite subject, right? What's that?
I said I could use some of that. It's kind of cloudy here today.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I've got a little bit of a cold coming on, so I can use some vitamin D. Anyway, it says omega-3 levels are the best predictor of mortality.
Really?
Yeah, this has come from Dr. Mercola. So let me read you the number one thing I wanted to read. It says omega-3, basically fish oil, has once again been validated for its usefulness to not only lower your risk of cardiovascular disease, but also your risk of all-cause mortality. Sorry, I said vitamin D earlier. I meant omega-3 fish oil. Sorry.
Yeah, you did, but that's okay. I was picking up on it. I was for everybody else was too, but I thought about calling
out. Yeah, well, I got the next thing I'm going to talk about is vitamin D, so that's why I'm just getting ahead of myself. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, so... beyond that, the new research funded by the National Institute of Health suggests measuring your omega-3 blood level may be a better predictor of your health or your risk of death than your serum cholesterol level.
Yep. I can see that.
But Dr. Goforth,
makes sense to
me. Look how far ahead of our time we are.
Yep. We are, really, aren't we?
Yeah, I've been measuring it for a year and a half now, ever since that new company came out. I've been measuring omega-3s on almost all my new patients. And so,
all right, so I got to say, though, you're ahead of our time. You just keep dragging me up there with you.
Yeah, I know. Kicking and screaming the whole way.
Kicking and screaming the whole way. No, I don't want to go. Yep. True story. That's funny.
Okay, so the new study published in the Journal of Clinical Lipidology looked at the value of measuring blood levels of EPA and DHA to assess your risk for developing certain diseases. The outcome, a higher omega-3 index was associated with lower risk for total cardiovascular disease events, total coronary heart disease events, and total strokes.
Right.
I'm trying to look at some numbers here to see if it gave me a number. I know we like 1.5 to 1 of a ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. But I'm looking at if they measured some sort of other index. I think that's probably the index that they did. This is several pages, so I'm not going to go into it any further. I'll look at it further on another day. So also from Mercola, which I got this week, was vitamin D can significantly lower your risk of metabolic syndrome.
Right. Good.
Yeah. So, yeah, blood sugar. So Dr. Goforth, do you take your fish oil and vitamin D today?
Not yet, but I got it on my desk. I think I better get ready.
Yeah. Yeah, the first. Yeah. Let me read you what Dr. Mercola had to say about vitamin D. It says, vitamin D is a steroid hormone that influences virtually every cell in your body, which is why maintaining a healthy level is important to your heart and brain health, optimal immune function, and general disease prevention. There are also an important connection between insufficient vitamin D and insulin resistance, and metabolic syndrome, and diabetes. Okay? A recent study, nearly 58% of postmenopausal women with insufficient or deficient vitamin D levels had metabolic syndrome, prompting researchers to recommend vitamin D supplementation to lower the incidence of the condition. So there you go.
Yep.
Measure vitamin D. I probably had 3 new patients last week, and every one of them went to the doctor with vitamin D levels being measured. Not all of them with fish oil, because can't get the insurance to pay for fish oil measurement, but maybe I can in the future.
That's right. Not yet, right?
Well, they'll pay for it. they pay for it, but it's like a $100 test, and they only pay you like $18. So I don't just automatically.
Yeah.
I try to get people to do it, but not all of them want to do it.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of hard to get people to understand what the importance of it, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Well, they bought into the fact that their cholesterol is important, so that they can measure their cholesterol levels. But according to that study for fish oil, at least, vitamin D is, their cholesterol, or their fish oil
omega-3
ratio, omega-3 index, is more important than cholesterol.
Right.
Anyway, listen to this study. This is crazy.
You and I are seeing that.
Yeah, well, we're quacks. They don't need to listen to us.
That's right. What a bunch of quacky quackers.
I know. So anyway, here we go. Child sexual abuse in the U.S. costs up to $1.5 million per child, according to a new study.
Huh.
It says with average lifetime cost of $1.1 million per death of female victims and $1.5 million per death of male victims. Oh, my God. Isn't that expensive? That is costly to our healthcare system.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
I know. I can see the toll it takes on people, right? But I just never understood. And that's with the death of someone. The lifetime cost of someone who doesn't die from child abuse is like $282,000. It's like, oh my God.
Really?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So, University of California, Berkeley, listen to this, Dr. G. It says four grades are tied to class times that don't match our biological clock.
Huh.
So, four grades aren't necessarily really related to kids that are poor, stupid, or behavior problems, or anything. Is they now made a link between their biological clocks and their ability to stay awake or pay attention.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Although I haven't figured out what your biological clock is, because it doesn't matter what class, what time of day we're in, you're trying to fall asleep.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it goes. Yeah, I know. It's just always so
riveting. Thank God for coffee.
Right? I'd have never made it through college.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about it before on the radio show, but I remember definitely having a problem when I was in school. I was a really good student. I had great grades, but oh my God, I had the most difficult time trying to stay awake until about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I wouldn't really wake up at school until 10. I remember going on a break. You know, like the 10 o'clock break at school or whatever, and going to the library and laying down on one of those radiating heaters and just taking a nap there. And, you know, I was like, it took me a while to wake up and get ready to go. Man, it was difficult. It's one of the reasons I took when I was in high school, or I think even middle school, and we had choices of when we took classes, is I'd take PE first thing in the morning as a way to finally freaking try to wake up somehow.
Right. Yeah, that'd be the. I remember having PE in the first class too. That was a better thing for me too. Just get out moving.
Yeah, it wasn't just for moving because I used to ride my bike to school, and middle school was about 3 miles away, so I rode my bike to school, and then I'd get there early, but not before they had PE class or anything, and they'd have the gym would be open. And he played basketball in the gym until it was time to go to class. So I'd have to do I'd get a lot of exercise and then get to class and, like, man, it's hard to stay awake. Oh, my God.
Right. Yep.
It would have been better.
Well, you know what you said earlier? You're not the only one that's hadn't figured out my biological clock yet either.
So legalized medical cannabis lowers opioid use according to a new study. Now, we've seen this a few times now, but this was just published in the Journal of American Medical Association Internal Medicine. So now overwhelming evidence shows that it really reduces the risk of opioids. And, you know, unfortunately, I bet if they looked at the numbers, they would find that the amount of visits to the doctor with the legalized use of cannabis has gone down, too.
Right.
Because you don't need to go to your doctor to get opioids anymore. You can just go to your local, I mean, this is Oregon, right? This is crazy. I was in Eugene a couple of weeks ago driving. It seems like on every other street corner, there's a medical cannabis store.
Yep. Or legal or you know, recreational, whatever. Taking care of them both. I know. We have, you know, our little town of little over 5,000 people. I think we have two of them here.
Yep.
It's like, really? So, you know, it's just kind of like bars, right? Taverns. You know, gotta have suppliers.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to someone about it the other day because I have patients that are in the business, right? I was talking to him the other day and go, well, what happens when enough states legalize it and it becomes legal to import marijuana from, like, Colombia? Because there was a Time magazine article, a year or two ago, that talked about the cost of marijuana, and they said the cost of producing it in, like, Colombia is $25 a pound. That's how much farmers get paid there to grow it.
Wow.
So if it became legal in the United States to import it, the cost would maybe drop to the point when it's cheaper than eating candy bars.
Huh. That's craziness. Could you imagine?
Well, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. If it only costs $25 a pound to grow it, and they import it here, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no kidding.
And the price would just
go up overnight.
Of course,
I wouldn't want to deal with the grommets, so I probably won't be doing any of it. So.
No, I'm not going to do any of it either. But I'm just curious as what it's going to do to the economy and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. So.
Well, I'm really glad they legalized it because, you know, you and I, we get sick of seeing the opioid epidemic. You know, we noticed it 25 years ago where no one else. You know, it's like, oh, no, there's no problems with it whatsoever. It's like, are you kidding me? We can see it.
Yep.
You just had to wait till the number got up to 115 people a day dying before you decided to realize that something was going on there. And then people like Rush Limbaugh. I remember Rush Limbaugh a long time ago. He was so negative against drug dealers and drug users, right? And then he developed some episodes of low back pain, and he went to the doctor, right? And, of course, what did the doctor do to him? Just like they do everybody else. They gave him opioids. And guess what happened to Rush? He got addicted to it.
Yeah.
And guess what happens when you're addicted to it? You want to get more of your drug because you feel sick if you don't get it. And so he did what everybody else does and got caught in trouble for it. Now the interesting thing is he never criticizes drug people anymore. Drug addicts is... You know, it used to be there was something wrong with their personality because that's why they were drug addicts. And, you know, in his mind and a lot of other people, is they couldn't foresee how people would – there had to be a weakness in their character to get addicted to drugs. But he did because he didn't just – maybe it's a weakness in character, but I doubt it, to start taking drugs in the first place on your own without a prescription. But, you know, even then, if they're in a lot of pain and they can't afford to go to the doctor and they go, listen, I can get this off the street for nickels, whereas it's going to cost me $250 to go see my doctor, I'll do what I can for pain on the street.
Yep, exactly right.
And then there's other pain, too, right? Then there's other pain where people do drugs, not necessarily physical pain. Some of them are in psychological anguish and they just want to drown their sorrows and pain somehow. So it's not really a weakness in character.
I agree with that.
Ohio University. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I was just saying that I think there's a lot of reasons for people to get started on that stuff. You know, everybody talks about the gateway drug here or there, but it's a lot more faceted than that. There's too many things can get people started. It's just the way it is. Look at smokers. I mean, smokers don't always start for the same reason.
No.
It's an interesting
thing. No. Yeah, I know. So, Ohio University, a high number of concussion-related symptoms in performing arts. It says research,
oh, really?
67% of theater workers surveyed have experienced head impact. 39% had more than 5.
Huh.
And this is a study released in the Journal of Occupational and Environmental Medicine. It shows a stunning number of participants not only experienced concussion-related symptoms and head impacts, but also continued performing, either without reporting the incident or without receiving recommended care. And none of these participants were participating in sports.
Huh, yep, that's true.
So, it looks to me, Dr. Goforth, that Oregon is trying to develop some sort of concussion-related protocols for chiropractors to learn how to be more brain specialists.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like they're putting something together for that, and I'm actually glad to see it because I remember at a seminar last year, you and I went to a seminar on concussions, right? But we went to another one specifically related to it. And they were talking about the interest in our profession was starting to really grow in our ability to take care of these people. And so I'm actually looking forward to it. And hopefully maybe this year they'll develop something and I'll just go learn as much as I can about it.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening, right? It's pretty frightening with our brain health when, you just can't help but think. When you start seeing people with their crappy diets, and obviously they can't think as well as they used to. We've seen studies that said that our brains have shrunk 11%. You know what I mean? It's
Yep.
It's funny.
Yeah. Scary stuff out there.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. University of Michigan, get moving to get happier, according to a new study. It says physical activity has long been known to reduce depression and anxiety and is commonly prescribed to prevent or cure negative mental health conditions. Did you hear that? It says commonly prescribed.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to go back to that in a minute. A new review suggests that physical activity frequency and volume are essential factors in the relationship between physical activity and happiness. Okay, so here's the deal. When's the last time you saw one of your patients on an antidepressant? Or an anti-anxiety, an antipsychotic, that was literally prescribed physical activity as part of their prescription.
Never seen that.
I've never seen it.
Never.
And I've asked people about it, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know where these people that are writing this article say it's commonly prescribed. No, it's not.
Not at all.
I have not seen in a psychologist's office ever a stationary bicycle in her waiting room.
No, that would be handy, wouldn't it?
Or how about a vibration plate in the back room where they go stand on the vibration plate while they're waiting for their appointment and get some neurostimulus,
right?
Some proprioceptive stimulus, some stuff that will help get them moving.
Right. That's a good plan, too.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this quite a bit these days, Dr. G, a wellness center, what would it look like? Because, I am a certified chiropractic wellness practitioner, and I really would like to see something change in healthcare. What would it look like? And one of my, we talk about eating well, moving well, thinking well, and one of my parts on the thinking well was going, we really need to get some equipment for people's mental health, going to the gym or just stand on vibration plates or whatever, stationary bicycles or whatever. And, we need to combine these things with other things that they're already doing. So people won't do it on their own. So let's say they got an appointment to come into the psychologist for mental health. It's like your appointment's at 10 o'clock, but they don't see the doctor till 10:30 because they got to get on a stationary bike for half an hour.
Right.
That's part of your appointment. Yep. Just like going to physical therapy. This is part of your appointment. You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. Makes a lot of good sense, actually.
And that's why we got to quit specializing in all these stupid things. We need to get together and build this big giant, instead of a big old hospital to only take care of people that need very sick care. We need to make a big building, like in Eugene, you know, they got River Bend. Maybe not as big as the River Bend Hospital, but something almost as big that combines everybody together, so we can start combining everything together to get people well, because we're more than the sum of our parts.
Right.
Like, you know, if you've got mental health issues, you need to exercise. Also, you need a prescription for vitamin D and fish oil and a few other things. And yet these are constantly being missed. And the sad part is people are getting help from people that are not licensed healthcare practitioners. They're getting multi-level marketing company people. Here, take this. They're getting sales reps trying to sell them something like a Qi machine or something, which I don't mind Qi machines. But you know what I mean? This is valuable health stuff that doesn't need a doctor to do it, but the medical profession or the healthcare profession is really sorely lacking in their ability to help people, probably because they can't get reimbursed from an insurance company.
That's probably a big part of it. It's hard for them to get to work if they, you know, if they can't eat, as it were.
Yeah. So I'll keep working on my idea for a wellness center. We'll see what we can do. Okay, Queensland University of Technology says older people are now advised to dance for better posture, flexibility, energy, and happiness.
Just dance, huh?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's good.
So they're trying to get, in this facility, they're getting older people to learn ballet because it helps with all of those things that they're saying. So get up and dance. Get up and move.
Right.
Oh, listen to this. This is what I thought was interesting. BPA, or bisphenol A, may be the cause of the ADHD epidemic. Scientists link the plastics chemical to the condition.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, new research published in the Journal of Environmental International Highlights. New research published in the Journal of Environment International highlights the fact that BPA, like other chemicals used in plastics, is an endocrine disruptor, meaning it interferes with hormone production and balance. Children exposed to BPA early in life, the review found, are much more susceptible than older children to develop behavioral problems like hyperactivity later in life. The review looked at more than 30 different scientific studies on the subject, its author declaring it to be a compelling piece of evidence in the puzzle of what causes ADHD.
Right. Huh. That is interesting.
And they've now recently found that up to 90% of people have traces of BPA in their bodies.
Yeah, I remember something about that too.
Yeah, it's like we were saying last time. When are we going to start banning plastics?
Right.
I had this conversation with someone this weekend. The conversation was this, is that I believe that the Western world is responsible for almost all of the pollution in the ocean of plastics, because we pretty much develop plastics. It's not that we're more disgusting than pigs and polluting the world, but we develop this stuff. And then other countries who don't have our same values use them and discard the stuff in ways that are different than we do. And we don't do enough. I mean, we develop this stuff because we could recycle it, but we don't recycle them.
Right.
I think we just need to go back to ceramics and glass. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. Glass would be good.
Yeah, we got to find ways to get rid of all this plastic stuff because, well, the bisphenol A is one and other chemicals, but also there was a whale that washed up on a beach like this weekend or whatever, or last week, and they found that it had like 80 pounds of plastic in its gut.
Oof, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's just way too much plastic out there.
Yep.
So, anyway.
Okay, so we
think. Let's see. More meds kill them faster. Heart attack survivors prescribed antidepressants are more than twice as likely to be dead 1 year later.
Huh. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it's British Heart Foundation estimates that around 15% of people will become severely depressed in the first few weeks after a heart attack, while a further 25% will develop milder but persistent symptoms. This means that 4 out of every 10 people who have a heart attack will experience some level of depression. Of course, mainstream medicine solution is obvious, right? Give them an antidepressant. But recent study by researchers from the European Society of Cardiology suggests that this may be the absolute worst solution to the problem. In fact, their observational study found that patients prescribed an antidepressant after heart attack had a staggering 66% greater mortality rate in the following 12-month period when compared to those who did not receive such a treatment.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is.
Kill them faster.
Yep.
I know.
It's craziness out there.
Okay, it says probiotics are found to offset the detrimental effects of stress on the immune system.
Right.
Isn't that cool? It says
well,
given stress.
Good, yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to figure out which one it is, what study it was. I don't see it. Anyway, so isn't that interesting, right? We've touched on fish oil, vitamin D, and probiotics, our favorite three things already.
Right.
Energy drink consumption is linked to anxiety and depression and stress in young adults.
That's
yeah.
Not surprising at all.
So, speaking of energy drink stuff, someone tried to introduce me to another line of multi-level marketing products. And I'm not going to mention the name of it, I think. But I was looking at this stuff. They gave me a whole bunch of stuff to look at. I thought, okay, I'll look at it. And
right.
I looked at it, and then the ingredients on all of them were caffeine.
Uh-huh.
So they were saying, and there was also Malhong and Guaranara and B12, stuff you see like in energy drinks. And it was in their whole whole vitamin line, how they're going to get the health healthier and better. And I called the person up and was talking to him on the phone about it. And I was trying not to be too harsh or too critical because someone told me, be nice. And I just couldn't have, they were telling me to go, I've never tried any vitamins before where I can feel them working in my body. Well, it's not the vitamins, it's the stimulants that are in there that you feel working on your body.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're not going to feel the vitamins. And if you do, you're way past deficient. You're like on the verge of death.
Yeah, it's incredible. They got their kids on it, their spouses on them, and they come with like a patch that's like a mood stabilizer. It's not a mood stabilizer. You're freaking giving yourself stimulants all the time. It's like, are you kidding me? But anyway, that's what they try to sell the general public through their multi-level marketing stuff. And, you know, I don't doubt that they can feel it. I have no doubt whatsoever that they're feeling it because I saw all the stimulants in there. I was like taking it. It was like taking a energy drink.
Yeah, I bet I know which one it is. I won't say it, but I know which one it is.
Yeah. But you know, it's I don't know. I've been doing this for darn near 30 years, Dr. Goforth. Everybody and his brother for every multi-level marketing company out there comes and approaches me at one time or another. And I usually take the time to look at their stuff because, you know, one thing I have noticed about a lot of them is if they're a new company, they usually come up with a new product that's actually pretty innovative and pretty good. You know, some of the nitric oxide stuff out there I found second to none.
Right.
I remember Pycnogenol a long time ago. Of the company that started off with that. So another company started doing things like potassium. They called it KM. And patients that were taking potassium, and it was great because people are low in potassium, right? And
right.
So it was, they're good products, but usually when they come up, after they saturated the market with their product, they come up with another product that's actually the crappiest product on the market. And that's one of the things that I hate about them. And then also, you know, if you want to buy a product with potassium in it, thank goodness that you are telling the world about potassium and more people are taking potassium, although they don't realize that it's your product, that's what it is, and that product is doing them some good. They can buy potassium for pennies on the dollar compared to the cost from the multi-level marketing company. And then, of course, most of these companies last several years, and then they end up going kaput.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's usually the way it goes. Most of them, not all, but most of them do.
Yeah, a lot of them do. So polyphenols in dark chocolate protect against metabolic syndrome.
Go dark chocolate.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. This is published in the Journal of Nutrition and Intermediary Metabolism. And I wanted to find an association between chocolate consumption and anxiety, particularly the presence of metabolic syndrome. So during the 2001-2002 study, they studied over 3,000 people over 18 years old without any clinical evidence of cardiovascular disease or any other chronic disease at baseline. They did a 10-year follow-up, and they calculated the participants' dark chocolate intake using, you know, questionnaires or whatever. And let's see, they found lower levels of anxiety for every 25 milligram increase in the daily intake of dark chocolate polyphenols. So they found it, not only about metabolic syndrome, but they reduced anxiety levels.
Right. Very nice.
Oh, here we go. Omega-3s and GLA, which is gamma-linolenic acid, found to help ease symptoms of autism in toddlers born preterm.
Very good. That'll work.
Yeah, this one is reported in Neural Ingredients or whatever. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Let's see. The research team performed their initial experiment at a nationwide children's hospital in Columbus, Ohio, and it was published their findings in the Journal of Nutrition. Let's see. What did they find? Supplemented toddlers showed fewer symptoms of autism spectrum disorder. And they gave him what they did is they gave him 369, so they just gave him more fatty acids, right? And that made a bigger difference in these people. And again, that doesn't surprise me because you know, we still are a fat phobic society, right?
Right. I know. That's an interesting thing too.
I know. I don't know how many years, Dr. G, you and I have been telling people. And we're not the only ones that fat is good for us. That they still, when they sit in front of your office, it's like, oh, that's fattening. What? Wait.
I know, right? It's a funny thing that happens there.
Yeah, it's like they were brainwashed a while back, and they just can't not overcome their brainwashing.
That's it, too. That's what I see.
So let's see. Wild blueberry juice provides cardioprotective effects for people at risk for type 2 diabetes. And blueberries aren't just for sweet cheesecakes. It can be also protect the heart of people who have had too much of it. A study published in British Medical or BMC Nutrition revealed that wild blueberry juice has cardioprotective effects, which can improve the condition of people with type 2 diabetes. Let's see, what does it say? A whole bunch of stuff in there. Anyway, speaking of a multi-level marketing company earlier, there was a multi-level marketing company that I liked their products. I'm not involved much with their multi-level marketing company, but I still like their products. They have one that's called Wild Blueberry Juice, right?
Right.
And they have all these claims about how well it works, and I really like it as a source of a multiple vitamin. I have a couple of my patients that actually take it because they're old and they won't do anything different. And so I just said, well, try this one. And I go, that's their source of a multivitamin. But, yeah, so here we go. Now, in mainstream medical science, I'm starting to see some of the stuff from what they've been making claims for years with their multi-level marketing company. Wild blueberry juice.
Huh. Nice.
Says another study finds vitamin D reduces the risk of cancer by 20% or more.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into the details because we keep talking about this all the time, but there is another new study coming out confirming what all the other studies are saying.
Right.
Oh, here's one. I wanted to talk to you about this one. Says a study finds air pollution is more likely to make you sick than inherited risk factors, like genetics, right?
Uh-huh, right.
So that's a new study. Air pollution is more harmful than what we thought it was.
Yep. That doesn't surprise me at all. Oh. Ask any of us who suffer from seasonal allergies. We'll tell you.
Yeah, well, remember when we studied everything about diseases, it was, remember, it was called nature and nurture, right? Genetics
right.
plus
nature
the environment that caused them all our health problems. And then we kind of
yep.
went away from nurture because everybody wanted to say it's a genetic problem. Of course, it's really easy to demonize something else as the cause of your problems instead of you, right?
Right.
So now we see
yep.
the environment is even more important than genetics here, because that's what this study shows, is that air pollution is more likely to cause problems than your genes.
Right. Very interesting.
So when are you going to start cleaning up the world more, huh?
It's a good question.
I mean, we're so worried about global warming. But before
right.
we even warm up enough for, if it's true, which I don't think it is, but if it's true that we're, the world is warming up, by the time we notice any effects that affect us, we'll already be dead.
Right.
Because of the pollution.
Right, no kidding. All the other stuff that's going on in there.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Totally.
I mean, it's disgusting. If you look at some of the, I've been looking at some of the propaganda news networks. They're showing like homelessness, like in California, and these homeless people, where they are, the amount of grass and garbage they just throw off to the side, it's overwhelming, right?
Right.
It's like, come on, people. Let's take care of this stuff properly. But, you know, they're poor. They don't have any way to do it. And they also don't care. So they just throw their trash or whatever trash they get anywhere they decide they want to.
Yep.
Okay, speaking of earlier, I was talking about multi-level marketing companies. There's another one that comes to mind. It's called Pycnogenol. I mentioned that earlier. It's a powerful, effective alternative to aspirin as a blood thinner. Okay, let's see if I can find which one this came from. Let's see. No one wants to have a heart attack, so many people take aspirin every day in an effort to reduce their risk. Its blood-thinning properties may indeed be helpful when it comes to preventing heart attacks, according to this article. It's actually only beneficial in preventing a second heart attack, not the first one. But aspirin is far from harmless medicine that it's made out to be. It might be available over-the-counter, but aspirin carries a host of alarming side effects. One of the problems is that aspirin might work too well at thinning the blood and cause people to
yep.
bleed to death, right? Let's see
yep.
if I can read where Pycnogenol is. Thankfully, there are some more effective and safer alternatives available that don't quite get the same level of attention that aspirin received. One of the best choices for many people is Pycnogenol, the branded form of extract of the French maritime pine bark. What makes this bark extract special is the fact that around 75% composed of a class of polyphenols, proanthocyanidins. Anyway, this product is backed by over 400 clinical studies and scientific research papers showing it's safe and effective. Anyway, there's more stuff about here. I'm not going to go into it. I'm just going to mention the fact that people that really want to try to prevent a heart attack, they should get away from the aspirin and switch to picnogenol. And again, that was I was first became aware of it many, many years ago because it was a multi-level marketing company.
Uh-huh.
And then, so they got out there and they got the awareness of picnogenol up there. And then other companies came on board, started producing it for a lot less expensive. And then, of course, the multi-level marketing company goes away.
Right, right.
And with it, the awareness, because that's the one thing that the multi-level marketing companies did a good job of, is increasing public awareness of the importance of some of those products.
Yeah, exactly right, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely good at that.
Yeah, they are really good at that, and you know that's why I don't want to over criticize them, is they have their uses. And, you know, you get your neighbor convinced that the product they're taking is going to improve their health, and it will because people have such a crappy diet that literally taking any multivitamin is going to improve their health for a while, right? They're going to feel different and do it,
right.
Whatever, no matter what they do, and their neighbor takes the vitamins that they bought and go, you know what? If you get two of your friends to take these vitamins, then it's your cost. Your vitamins are free. And so, you know, they go out and they go, let's do that. And they tell their neighbors, hey, listen, you need to take this. This is pretty good. Of course, the neighbor has the
right.
same crappy diet that they did in the first place. And so they are effective.
Yep.
In spreading the word. So here we go. Women need a balance of omega-3s and omega-6s during pregnancy. So that's one of the blood tests that I measure all the time. It's omega-6 versus omega-3 ratio. Let's see. A study published in the Journal of Nutrition and Intermediary Metabolism attested the value of these polyunsaturated fatty acids in boosting a pregnant woman and her fetus's health. It enhances the development of baby's brain and reduces the likelihood of premature birth, especially in women with a history of nutrient deficiency and premature births. So, yeah. Fish, of course, is the most common source of omega-3s. But there are other sources as well. Canola oil is one, but we already know that canola oil causes brain damage from earlier studies. Flax and flaxseed oil can too, but flax and flaxseed oil gets converted into omega-3s in your body, and it takes about a 55-gallon drum of flaxseed oil to get about a tablespoon of fish oil. Wild rice has some, soybeans have some, walnuts have some, and some dairy foods have some, and also, you know, eggs that are, chickens that are fed a certain diet produce eggs that are high in omega-3s as well now. Okay, so here we go, Dr. Goforth. A court ruling confirms that Gardasil vaccine kills people. Scientific evidence beyond any doubt. So where is the outcry?
Exactly. I haven't heard any. This is the first.
So this final ruling of this court hearing showed this, is that Merck's Gardasil vaccine causes autoimmune problems that cause sudden debilitating and or death, or sudden debilitation and or death.
Right.
Yeah. So this one girl that they went to court showing this with, and she would have been gunned down by someone with an AR-15, all the world would have been outraged because it was a
right.
vaccine. No one really seems to care, right?
Right. Nobody cares. This poor young lady is either dead or severely disabled now. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. So, got a couple of other studies on cognitive performance. Here we go. says, yes, you could exercise your brain to dramatically improve cognitive performance. So not just happiness, like we were saying earlier, but it improves cognition as well. And then here's another one for cognitive things. It says, music lessons improve children's cognitive skills and academic performance.
Nice.
Yeah, you know,
that's one of the reasons we force our kid to stay in band.
Yeah, same with ours. We did the same thing. I just know as a chiropractor, right, that music stimulates a certain part of the brain, and without music, I don't think it gets stimulated enough. And so, you know, we wanted our kids to have music lessons, and also they happen to stimulate a similar part of the brain that mathematics does, right? So.
Right.
It's no surprise that your daughter is too. She's good at math. It's no surprise that our kids are good at math because
That's
we like
right.
math in our house. You like math in your house. You like it. And then we also do the same thing, have your kids take music lessons, and we help them with their math, and we don't have a negative attitude about it. Before you know it, they all love it too.
Right. Exactly right. I've actually helped turn one or two opinions about math as well, doing the same kind of things. Just got to be... not negative. Very good stuff. And I'll tell you what's really cool is when you get to see your kid up there doing something that's just completely awesome, you know, but playing the sax or something. It's just really cool.
That's only when they get better at it. When they're in the beginning, there's nothing cool about that at all.
No, I hear that, but she's got better.
It's painful.
Pretty cool.
It's painful in the beginning.
It's so painful, I know. Both my girls started on the clarinet, and it's just like, oh. You never know the torture until you got to go through it.
You know what's even worse?
All those little kid toys and whatever, you know, that you got to deal with.
Well, what's even worse than your kid doing it is being forced to go see somebody else's kid perform.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, my God, that's worse than watching paint heal on a wall.
Yeah. I hear you.
You know, you get one of your friends that go, hey, my kid's performing in their first dance recital or their first solo performance, right? And they go, can you go? And, oh, God, why do you ask me? Oh, okay, I guess I'll go. And you go. And you're going, you know, next time I'm going to offend the person by saying, no, I don't want to go. Because that is less painful than sitting through all that.
Yeah, no, I ain't going. You can't make me. Yeah, I hear you. Oh, that's funny.
God, you know, I.
Everybody out there
so anyway,
going, yep. Been there.
Yeah, I know. We've all done it. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason you can put up with your own kids is because they're your kids and you love them and you want to support them. And you know, the kids don't necessarily see your earbuds in your ears, right? So.
Earplugs in your head. I'm good. Yep. True story. Very funny.
I know. So instead of finding the cause of symptoms, early diagnosis of psychosis just gets you put on meds more quickly.
Uh-huh.
So that's a conversation I was having with someone this weekend, too, about that very subject, is that this lady used to do foster care. And I've had my experiences in the foster care system, and she had hers because she provided it. And then another person was in the foster care system and how horrible it was for him. So we were talking about this. And, you know, it's like they want to drug you up immediately. It's like they almost have you prejudge. Oh, you poor kid. Your parents just did this? Here, let's give you some drugs for that. Like they don't even diagnose you. Now, speaking of diagnosis of psychological conditions, I'll tell you what's really driving me nuts these days. You know, it's causing me to become psychotic. Listening to all these experts on TV diagnosing people that aren't their patients.
Oh, yeah. That just drives you crazy, doesn't it? Like, you bunch of idiots.
There's got to be something. There's got to be some law that, you know, a news reporter trying to say that someone, like the president or anybody else, is a narcissist, diagnoses them with a medical condition, should be outlawed because they're practicing medicine without a license.
That's right.
And when they get an expert out there to discuss it, they should yank their license because they can't diagnose a person that's not their patient.
Or at least be sued for malpractice.
Dr. Goforth, could you diagnose someone, literally, without seeing them, without hearing their symptoms, without talking to them?
No. I mean, you get an idea. I think, well, this might be it. But you have a plethora of ideas. But no. You got to be able to do, you got to put your hands on them, basically.
And then what about these people that give their opinion of the, whatever person has this, they have this condition. That's what we think they have. Oh, my God, what about doctor-patient confidentiality?
Right. Well, that's not important. Especially not if you're a public figure. I mean, come on.
I know. It's actually driving me nuts what they're doing these days.
Yep, I agree.
So, hey, Dr. G, do you take too much ibuprofen? Well, here's what it can do. It can cause bleeding, stomach ulcers, and even a heart attack, according to a new study.
Yep.
That's why the meta-analysis done last year in Australia said that non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which ibuprofen is in that category, cause more harm than good, and so they no longer recommend that you do it.
I used to take too much before I knew any better.
Yeah, no kidding. I know. Let's see, here we go. Where's some of the other studies? I got a bunch of them here. Another benefit for nursing moms. Breastfeeding for at least 6 months provides protection against heart disease.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Research shows that nursing moms are less prone to develop breast and ovarian cancer as they age. They're more protected from type 2 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, and heart disease. Okay, Dr. G, if you could get those benefits, do you think you'd rather feed your kid out of a bottle?
Oh, no. I'd rather have the benefits. If I could get the benefits of feeding my kid out of a bottle, I'd do it.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. If they found that if you feed a kid out of a bottle, this formula, that you'd be protected against all those things. In a moment's notice, people would be feeding them out of a bottle.
That's right.
Taking a multivitamin has beneficial effects for your brain and your mood. So now multivitamin, a relatively recent study published in the Journal of Nutrition and Interferon Metabolism, concluded that supplementing your diet with a multivitamin can positively impact mood and functional brain activity in as little as 4 weeks. And this was a double-blind, placebo-controlled study. So here we go. Quite interesting, huh?
Yep.
Kind of like what I was talking about earlier with the little multi-level marketing company thing where your neighbor gets you on a multivitamin. No wonder you can do better because we're so deficient in everything these days.
Exactly right.
Efficacy and safety of lowering blood lipid levels and cardiovascular risk with turmeric and curcumin. Let's see, where is it? A study was published last year in the Nutrition Journal covered the cardiovascular benefits of turmeric and curcumin. As per the study authors, both turmeric and curcumin can protect patients who are at risk for developing cardiovascular disease. So, let's see. All in all, turmeric and curcumin had the greatest and most positive effect on the hearts of patients with metabolic syndrome. So there you go. They protect everybody. But if you have metabolic syndrome or blood sugar-related problems, they seem to work even better. And that's what's funny, because we talked about turmeric and curcuma more as an anti-inflammatory, right, than almost anything else.
Right.
We forget that it has a huge effect on people that have blood sugar-related problems.
Right. Exactly.
Let's see. What's this one? Here's a study in here. I don't remember reading it. It says the global burden of low back pain. It says new research highlights the extent to which low back pain is mistreated, often against best practice treatment guidelines. So that's a scientific study out of the University of Warwick, which isn't a chiropractic university. And you know, Dr. Goforth, I look at the Oregon evidence-based guidelines, which, by the way, they're being revised right now based on the newer studies on ibuprofen and Tylenol being ineffective. And then in light of the opioid epidemic going on, what cracks me up is we have evidence-based or scientific-based recommendations in the state of Oregon coming out and telling people what to do. By the way, state of Washington has the same guidelines, and they're nothing different than anything. The science is the science. It doesn't matter who comes up with the guidelines. If they read the science, that's what they come up to, is repeatedly, no one follows the guidelines in the medical profession.
Right.
I have yet to see a patient yet to come over to me who has recommended those guidelines. From the very simple
right.
thing, here's the guidelines that they say for low back pain, actually neck pain as well. It's simple. You go to the doctor, and people that go to the doctor are going to get better than people that don't. Because some people, you know, my uncle developed low back pain, and it turned out it was his prostate cancer, you know. So they worry about it. So if they go to the doctor and they get worked up, they could get better just for having seen a doctor and relieve some of their stress. The other thing is heat. When's the last time you saw a medical doctor or a physical therapist recommend heat?
I don't know. Usually it's ice.
Yeah, and I was doing an IME recently, and this chiropractor's chart notes, every chart note said ice, 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 ice.
Yep.
It was just a canned chart note that showed up automatically. When I asked the patient, did they ever recommend ice for you? She said, no, never.
Huh.
But it showed up in their paperwork every time, so they'll recommend ice. And also, they recommend staying active, and I don't remember seeing a single patient of mine recently that came from their doctor with their back pain that they recommended movement. And then they recommended, this is one of the top recommendations out there, was spinal manipulative therapy. 97% of all spinal manipulations are performed by chiropractors. So there's a political component to it because they can't say chiropractic adjustment. They have to say spinal manipulative therapy because they can't use the word chiropractic because there's some sort of political thing about it, right?
Right. Losers.
Right?
Yeah.
So none of them go, you know what, you need to go to the chiropractor and get the recommendations from them.
Right? Can see this patient for 4 visits. Really? Because you know what I'm doing? That drives me crazy.
And the state of Oregon's evidence-based guidelines say that in 12 visits or 1 month, 85% of people are going to get significant improvement. And yet the state of Oregon, under their Oregon Health Plan guidelines, only give people 8 visits. So they don't even give you enough to get the result.
Right. I know. It's crazy.
I know. Anyway, I think I'm going to call the radio show quit about a minute or two early because I got patients stacked up waiting for me to see them.
All right.
Including a little baby waiting for me. Oh, look at her crawling. Anyway, Dr. Goforth, it was good talking to you again today. So that concludes today's show. So until next time,
here's to your health.